for his goodness. A funny thing happened when I came to church this morning. So I got out of the car. Sister Cheryl walked up to me and she says, "Do you know that you have on two different colored shoes?" So I didn't know if anybody else had noticed it. It's been bothering my mind, so I just wanted to get it out there so my mind could be clear. And I wanted you all to know so that if you happen to see my two different colored shoes up here, that you wouldn't start thinking about it rather than the message. So it's just all out in the open, and we'll leave it there. So appreciate this morning the Lord. Appreciate the Sunday school. I feel like the Sunday school just really added to the thoughts and things that in certain ways that I have this morning. I want to talk to us this morning about escape. And I want to start in Romans 2 and read verses 2 through 5. And it says, he has just gone through a very long list of sins. And he says, "But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things." The "such things" is this big long list of sins before in the chapter before that he has talked about. "And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things, and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God?" I was thinking about that, and I was thinking how that we can look around out there in the world, and we can see all the things that people are doing, and we have a judgment about it. It's sin, it's wrong, and you shouldn't be doing this, and you shouldn't be doing that. But if we're not careful, we can have little traces of those things in our lives. Little traces, little things that, yes, we don't do it exactly how they do it, but we still have a little bit of something. There are those out there that are just, oh, we look at them and they're so rebellious, and they're rebellious against all authority and against, you know, their parents and against all these different things. But we can condemn that, and we can say, that is such a horrible thing. All of that rebellion, and it's a rebellious age, and it's this rebellion, and all these little children rebel against the teachers and won't listen. And we can have a lot to say about those kind of things. And yet we can harbor in our hearts a little bit of rebelliousness, a little bit of rebellion in us. And what the scripture is telling here is, do you think that you can get away with judging all those things out there and yet you're going to have this little thing here? Do you think you can do that? It's not going to happen. The Lord is going to bring everything into judgment. So it says, "Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance?" Oh, we can look out there and we can say, this should happen and that should happen. And if this happened, that would surely wake people up. And if that happened to them, that would wake them up. And, oh, they're getting what they deserve. And they're, you know, this is happening and that. And we can go on, making all kinds of judgments about what's going on out there. Making all kinds of judgments. And forgetting that the reason that those people are all still alive is the goodness of God. Because the devil would have killed them all. But it's the goodness of God that they're still alive. And we want to go around saying and condemning them after we've escaped. See, we've escaped, but sometimes we forget about what all we were doing and what all we were going through and everything. And we want others to escape, but sometimes, dear ones, we can have an attitude that says, I want them to escape after they've suffered a while. You know, we can have that. We can want them to pay. They need to suffer for a while. I've known many, many times of places where, like, husbands and wives, where one has been saved for a long time and the other one hasn't, And then all of a sudden that one comes in, and the one that's saved is all worried about how they're getting away with this, and they're getting away with that, and they're not measured up this way or that way, and they're getting away with things. No, they're not. But your attitude is very bad. If you think that they're getting away with something, because the truth of the matter is, if it wasn't for the mercies of God, we all wouldn't get away with anything. But do you know that God has mercy on us, and he lets us get away with things until we come to the knowledge and understanding that we need? He doesn't condemn us. He doesn't bring things down upon our heads and all these things, punishing us for the things that we haven't even discovered or know about yet. And yet we are so quick to want somebody else to pay. We want people to escape, don't we? We want the sinners to escape. We want them to escape from all the bad things that are happening in their lives, all of the disappointments, all of the depressing things, all of the things that come upon them on a daily basis that causes them such anguish. And sure, they act out. They act out of fear. They act out of anguish. They act out of the devil telling them they're treating you so wrong, and this is happening, that's happening. And so they just get harder and harder and more rebellious and more disturbed, and their behavior gets more and more disturbed. And we look at it and say, well, if they know about God and they know that they should be saved and everything, but listen, so did we. So did we. We knew we should be saved a whole long time before we got there. And what were we doing all that time? We were just little angels before we got saved. That isn't what happened. Escape. Those that have escaped are supposed to have great, great understanding and mercy for those that haven't. It says here, but after thy hardness and impenitent heart, treasurest up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God. Thy hardness and impenitent heart. Oh, dear ones, before we escaped from all of that, we had pretty hard hearts. We had softness for things we shouldn't have, and we had hardness against things that we should have been soft. And that's just how we were. The opposite of everything that God is, that's what we were. And we couldn't tell the difference. We couldn't discern the difference. We couldn't discern the difference between something that we should be upset about and something that we shouldn't be upset about. Because we did it all backwards. We were soft on things we should have been hard on, and hard on things that we should have been soft on. And that's the devil. He goes against everything that is good and righteous, holy, all those things. We don't want to have a hard and impenitent heart. And do you know, when we first get saved, I don't know, I'm sure you all noticed when you first got saved, that all the hardness in your heart didn't go away. You learned still for quite a while, didn't you, about the hardness in your heart? About the things that you just had a hard time putting up with in others. And almost always that those hard things we have a hard time putting up with in others, we find traces of it in us. At least that's been my experience. When I have something that just really bothers me about somebody else, I start checking. I've learned to really start checking, because usually you have a thread of it. You have a thread of it. And God wants you to deal with yours first, you know, deal with yours so that you can help them. Lord, help us. It's wonderful to have escaped. We're so glad of it, aren't we? I mean, we come to service here, we're so happy and contented because we have escaped all of the corruption in the world. It's such a wonderful thing. But there are so many out there that are still underneath all of those things. And it's a sad place for them to be. And they're full of all kinds of problems and trials and tests and things that they can't handle and they don't know what to do with. And they need to escape. But, you know, there are sometimes, like little children, you know, you tell them all the time, stay away from this, stay away from this, stay away from this. Don't go out in the street. Don't go out in the street. And we tell this because we know there's dangers there. But how many of them run into the street? And this is who we are. We can know something and yet still find ourselves doing something that's very, very close to what we know we shouldn't be doing. It's not the exact thing that we are pinpointing in someone else, but it's so close that the Lord's not going to make a difference. He's not going to make a difference like that. Psalm 71, 2 through 6. Psalms 71, 2 through 6. It says, deliver me in thy righteousness, and cause me to escape. Incline thine ear unto me, and save me. Oh, dear ones, we need to escape all of the things that are out there in the world. They're only going to bring us heartache. We found out they only brought us heartache. They only brought us suffering. We found out that we needed to escape from all those things. There was a time that we thought we loved them. There was a time we thought we couldn't do without them. There was a time. But we're not in that time now. Now we know, we understand that we have to escape from all those things that are out there. And we're so glad. Oh, it's such a wonderful thing to escape. You ever escape something? You ever escape, come close to an accident, and your heart, you escape, and what happens? Your heart is pounding, your adrenaline's running, you're breathing hard, and you're saying, oh, oh, that was close, that was close. Yeah. Escaped a fall, you know, you start to trip, start to fall, and all of a sudden, you don't fall, and you go, oh, you're so thankful, you escaped, see, that fall. You go to washing dishes or something, and maybe you're washing your favorite something or other, and all of a sudden it slips out of your hand, and you bobble it around for a few minutes, and then you grab it, and you got it, and you're, oh, it didn't break. Escape is a wonderful thing. And we have escaped the corruption of the world. We have escaped it. And it is so wonderful, and we are so at peace knowing that we have escaped. So at peace. But dear ones, we just want to stir up our pure minds this morning to realize that there are still some things we need to escape from. Amen. Little things, smaller things maybe than when we first got saved, but still things, still something that we need to escape from. Mm-hmm. And all the others around us, they still need to escape. I was thinking how that many times we've heard many, many stories, haven't we? Of escapes, all manner of stories. And they can be inspiring stories of how people escaped something that was horrible. And that's a good thing. And we want others around us to escape. We want the Lord to have mercy on them. We don't want them to have to suffer. We don't want that. It says, be thou my strong habitation, whereunto I may continually resort. Thou hast given commandment to save me, for thou art my rock and my fortress. Isn't that what we found out? We found out that as long as we're living for the Lord, he's our rock and our fortress. He's the strength and the protection that we need from the enemy. Deliver me, O my God, out of the hand of the wicked, out of the land of the unrighteous and cruel men. Isn't that what happened? Didn't he deliver us out of that place? It's a hard world out there. And the men are cruel. They are cruel to each other. And they're wicked. And there were many of them that were trying to do us hurt and do us wrong and all. And we were victims many times of things that happened because of the cruelness of the world and everything. But aren't you glad that the Lord delivered us? He delivered us out of their hand. Even in our lives now, The world still tries to reach in and touch us, still tries to reach in and disturb us, say things about us, cause things to happen, spread rumors and tell you and things and all manner of things, still tries to reach in. But what we have found is that the Lord is our fortress. He's delivered us from the cruel man. The cruel man that doesn't know how to behave himself. And this is what we have to remember. When that cruelness comes out in men, it's because they don't know how to behave themselves. They haven't escaped. They're still under bondage. They're still under the deceitfulness of sin. They're still underneath Satan's power. They haven't learned yet. And they're just doing what sinners do. We shouldn't expect them to be doing anything else but what sinners do. It's our expectations that need to be changed so that we can look on them instead of with, you should be doing this and this and this. We should be looking on them with, Lord, help them to be able to do this and this and this. They need it, Lord. We are to show compassion. There were only times that the Lord, he showed compassion to everyone that came to him, except those that were being deceitful, those that were trying to trip him in his words, those that were trying to find fault with him. Yes. He was not soft with them at all. He told them just like it was, because he knew their hearts. He could reach in. He saw the intents of their hearts. But the other people, oh, he had such compassion. And you know, that's what we need to do. He looked upon those that came to him like that. They were the ones trapping him in his words. They were leaders. They were people that were trying to put themselves up as somebody. Somebody, some leadership, some strong this or that. And you need to follow me, and I'm the authority, and I'm this and I'm that. Jesus stood against that. And the scriptures are full of us, how we're to submit one to another, and how we're to be easily entreated one of another, and how we're to be soft answers with one another. That's how we're supposed to be. Yes. Aren't you glad you escaped? It was a hard place out there. I don't know about anybody else, but it was a hard place for me. I didn't function very well there. I didn't have the... I know all of our characters are different, and I'm not trying to raise mine up or whatever, but I didn't have the meanness in me. And so it was a very difficult place for me to live, because I couldn't get free of what they said. And, you know, other people, they just say something mean back and then they go off and they feel free. I could never feel free. I could never do back. I couldn't retaliate and do those things. It was a very hard and difficult place for me. And there are lots of souls out there like that, that are just being battered and bruised all the time because they don't have any fight in them, the kind of fight that the world has to relieve themselves. They don't have it. And then there's the other kind, they have a lot of it. You know, and they come into salvation and what are they doing? They're fighting everything. And they just learn to fight out there, and that's what they do. And no doubt if I'd have stayed out there longer, I'd have learned how to fight. Yes. You know, I hadn't been out there but about 21 years, something like that. So I hadn't learned how to fight maybe very good yet. But if I'd have been out there all these years and the age I am now, I'd have probably learned it real well. That's very true. So Lord, help us. Those of us that have escaped, to have mercy on those that haven't. It says, for thou art my hope, O Lord God. Thou art my trust from my youth. Do you know many times many of us knew God when we were children? We heard about God. We knew God. Maybe we were taken to church. Maybe we were taught. And maybe we didn't have religious families, but we had somebody else that talked to us. And maybe there was somebody that invited us to church. And maybe we went to church with a friend for a while. Or, you know what I'm saying? Things like that. And we learned something. We learned one thing, that God feels good. When you're a little child and you go into church, God is with the little children. And even if they are in a place that doesn't teach all the doctrine, they don't start teaching that doctrine so much when they're just little tiny. You know, they tell them the Bible stories and they tell them about God and Jesus and everything. And it's a very protective place for little children to be in. And so, from our youth, see, God started talking to us, every one of us. And we can be so glad that he did. Because what if he waited until the age of accountability and then started trying to talk to you? Where would we be? Where would we be if he waited till then? After all of our hardness had been fully developed and all of our rebelliousness fully entrenched and everything that causes people to go out there in the world and do all the things they do just fully implemented with no restrictions and nothing to hold it back, where would we be? It's just the mercy of God and him dealing with people that causes them to be able to understand at some point in their life that this is God, because he talked to them in their youth, when they were small, when they're children, and they discover, they know that, they hear that voice again, that calmness, that loving, tender voice, they hear it again, and they may not even recognize it, and they may not remember hearing it in childhood, but it's made an impression anyway, made an impression on the soul. By thee I have I been holden up from the womb. Thou art he that took me out of my mother's bowels. My praise shall be continually of thee. God allowed us to be born. God allowed us to have life. And we want to take it and do whatever we want with it, rather than letting God have it. He allowed it. But so many people, way too many people, want to keep that life all to themselves. They don't even understand that they need an escape. They have to escape from themselves, because everything that they think and everything they are and everything that they hope to be many times is all been shaped and molded by the enemy of our souls. So we have to have a praise in our heart that God has dealt with us, even as children, because we heard that voice, and then as we became adults, we heard it again. And it was a comforting voice. See, when we could maybe make more sense of it, when we could have better understanding, it's a comforting voice that comes. And that's what happens anytime, even when the Lord corrects us with something. Isn't his voice always comforting? Even if he's giving you a whipping about something, isn't it comforting? There's some comfort mixed with it. It doesn't come just as a harshness or a punishment or anything like that. It comes as a loving instruction. And it makes it so easy to be able to say, yes, Lord, I hear you. I hear what you're telling me. But the whole time, all that the Lord is doing is he's just wanting us to escape all the corruption and all the things out there that are going to come against us. He's wanting us to escape. Hebrews 2:4. It says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which art the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him. In other words, it was spoken by Jesus first, and then all those down through the ages of time that have heard his voice, that are still speaking it, including us today. How are we going to escape if we neglect? Oh, dear ones. Neglect is something that can dog us through our salvation experience. That we might do good for a while, and then we kind of slip. And then we might do good for a little while, and then we kind of slip. Neglecting our soul, neglecting our reading, our praying, our devotions, our meditations, the services. You know, we have to realize that God provides everything that we need. But you may not get it just Sunday morning. There may be something that he wants to give you during the week. Yeah. Something Sunday night. Something Wednesday night. Something in the adult class, on young adult class on Fridays. There may be something God wants to give you. The special prayer meeting on Saturdays. There may be something God has for you. But you're not there to get it. We talked about it in Sunday school this morning, that if we're not there to get it, we're still responsible for it. Because God provided it. We had opportunity to know. We had opportunity to be there. We had opportunity to be able to say, yes, Lord, I'm going to show up and I'm going to be there and I'm going to be on time and I'm going to do all these things that you want me to do. This is what I'm going to do. God help us to be careful, prayerful about these things. How shall we escape if we neglect such a great salvation? And what about those that are still out there in the world? And many of them know about salvation. They know about salvation. They've heard it. They understand. They know that salvation is what we're supposed to have. They know that Jesus died for our sins. They know that he hung on a cross. They know he's the Son of God. They know many, many things. They know that you're not supposed to do bad things. They know that because they'll tell you if they see you doing something that that isn't right. I thought Christians didn't do that. They'll tell you. They have a good understanding. Many of them have a very good understanding. But if they neglect the salvation itself, what good has their understanding done them? What good has it done them to have known that Jesus was the Son of God, knew that he died for their sins, he knew that he was did all these things for them, but neglected to make him an integral part of their lives, to make him the reason for their lives, to give him full control of their lives? Neglect. And all of those that are out there that know all these things and they just neglect it. They keep saying many things. They have lots of excuses. We read about those excuses in part of the Sunday school lesson. You know, where it's not now, later, you know, I'm not ready yet. I might have to give up something. You know, what am I going to do about this or that? Or I don't know if I can stay saved. I tried it before and I couldn't, so I don't know if I can. I mean, these are all things that they're using, but it's neglecting. It's neglecting. It's letting all those thoughts, all those things that are presented to our mind, letting those defeat us. How can we escape? There's no escape for those that are out in the world that are not saved. They are going to end up, and that last day, they are going to end up in a place they don't want to be. And they're going to know all the places they neglected, all the places they skipped, all the places they didn't pay attention, all the places where they had opportunities. You know, so many people have so many opportunities. Yeah. They come in and sit among us, and we talked about it in the Sunday school lesson this morning. It was about seeds being sown. Mm-hmm. And all the seeds that have been planted through the years right here in this chapel. From way back, from when we first got a congregation here, all the seeds that have been thrown out there, and so few have taken hold and gone all the way. Yeah. So few. It's very sad to realize. But all those seeds that have been cast, and just since I've been here, we were thinking in Sunday school this morning how there used to be a man and his son that came and sat there on the back row. And they came for quite a few weeks. Maybe a couple of months. I'm not sure. There was a man that came and wanted to talk to us about being delivered from alcohol. And my husband and I took him in the dining hall. And we talked with him and prayed with him and all. And he left. And the man not too long ago that came here that wanted delivered from spirits. And we prayed and all. And a woman came one night with her children and said this was the only place They had the lights on. The only church she could find, they had the lights on Sunday night. And she came in. And every one of those situations, there was seed planted. There was seed cast out. There was seed thrown their way. There was enough. God sent them here because there was enough seed that if you let it grow, if you would pay attention and allow it to grow, they could have had salvation. Seed is always being cast, but so few follow through with the seed. There's a scripture that says to, what is it, plow up the fallow ground of your heart? Something like that. You know, that's our job. When we find out something that we're short in, what is it that we do? Really, what it is, we start plowing up our heart. Because we know we need help. And we need the Lord to help us. We need Him to convince us and bless us and help us to be able to get a victory over this thing that we have found in our life that is not pleasing. It's not pleasing to us and it's not pleasing to God. And we want it out of our life. And it's a character flaw or something down in there. And we realize we have to get rid of it. And what do we start doing? We start plowing. We start praying about it. Sometimes we fast about it. We find scriptures about it. We saturate ourselves with the word about it. And that's breaking up the fallow ground of your heart, see, so that the Lord can plant the good thing. He can root out the bad and plant the good. But so often we know something is there, but we don't do much plowing. We pray one time. That's not plowing. That just made a scratch in the ground. Plowing is a long effort. Plowing in a field all day is long effort. Yeah. All day from sun up to sun down. We have to do that. And then we have to do more than just one day. And then more than a week. And we need to keep it in our prayers daily. When we know we have something. And we understand that we have not received the victory over it. It needs to be in our daily prayer. Amen. Until we recognize that God has sent the victory. But so often we just pray about it for a little while. We get a little relief. Why do we get relief? Because we're asking God to help us. And we're asking Him to forgive us about it. And all the ways that it works. And all the things we haven't seen. And we're doing all of this. And so we get some relief. But that's not victory. We have the victory when we don't do it again. When we don't see it again. We have victory. And there are times, I have to admit, there are times that we have to have deeper victories. We win a first victory, but there's still a deeper victory we need to. And then we get a deeper victory, and there still might be a deeper victory. And then we get that. But there will be a marked difference. You will know. That this I do not do. I do not do this. I have victory over this. Something has changed. Just like the day you got saved. Something changed. See, you want to plow and dig up the fallow ground of your heart. Until something has changed. And you recognize it as being there. So then in 2 Peter, the third chapter, 10 and 11, very familiar scriptures, read all the time. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise. The elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness? Do you know that most people believe there's an end coming? Even people out there that say that they don't believe in God, they still believe there's an end coming to this world. And, you know, lately, it seems like it's been plastered over the news quite a bit. This one over here warning, and that one over there warning, and this and that. And it isn't always very well thought out. It isn't all, it's kind of a little convoluted sometimes, but there's a lot of warnings going out about the end. And If you know anything about the Bible, you believe there's going to be an end. I had dreams about the end before I got saved. And I went to somebody that was well-versed in the scriptures after I was saved. And I said, are there any scriptures in the Bible about the end? And they gave me this verse. And it so matched up exactly with my dream that I was so convinced. Because my first dream was, it was at nighttime. And the heavens were exploding over me and landing in big chunks all around me. And I was running for the house and I was saying, if I can just get inside, if I can just get inside. It wasn't going to help me. And the second one, it says, the elements will melt with fervent heat. And it was out on a hillside and saw all of us children, you know, were well educated about nuclear explosions, you know. And I saw, we saw an atomic bomb explosion. Well, if you're close enough to see it, you're already gone.
Right.
You know, it's just seconds before the heat is going to hit you and melt you. I mean, if you're close enough to see it, not a good thing. And it was the heat. And then the third one, I standing and all the horizons were on fire. And when they gave me this scripture and I read these things, oh. But the thing that I remember most was the horrible sinking feeling of no hope. That it was over. There was no hope. I couldn't do anything about it now. It was over. It was over. Just like we said last week or one of the weeks in the past, when we were talking about this, that there are going to be people that have been holding off and thinking this and thinking they're all right, and yet they're hiding little things and this and that and saying, oh, it doesn't matter and everything. But when Jesus comes through the clouds and these things begin to happen, there isn't going to be anybody that isn't very clear that what I've been doing is wrong. But the problem is they can't say they're sorry then. They're going to want to. That's why they're going to cry for the hills and the mountains, because they're going to want to. They're going to want to say, oh, God, forgive me. Oh, God, forgive me. But it isn't going to work. It's not going to work. They aren't going to escape. Because it's too late when Jesus comes back. He's a judge. He's a judge. He's not a savior then. They have to do it now. While they have their health and their right mind. While they have their youthfulness, while they have everything that they need to make wise decisions, they need to make that decision now. How are you going to escape all the things that are coming? How are you going to escape if you don't make a wise decision? And the end can come for any of us, any day. Any day, the end can come. Things can happen. Psalms 124, verse 7. Our soul is escaped as a bird out of the snare of the fowlers. The snare is broken and we are escaped. Isn't that wonderful? You catch a wild bird and put him in a cage, or you have him in a little snare or something, and he will fight and beat himself against the cage, beat himself to death trying to get away, to escape. He says, our soul has escaped like a bird from snare. When we escaped, we had such a sense of freedom and peace and joy because we escaped. We were all bound up in the prison house of sin, they call it. Prison house of sin, and we escaped. Such a wonderful thing. We have several stories in the Bible about men that have escaped from prison or from persecution or let down over a wall. The angels opened the gates of the prison. All different kinds of ways that they escaped. And then we have all manner of stories down through history that they didn't escape the things of the world. They were still martyred. They were still burned at the stake. All these things were done to them, but they escaped in the best way. Amen. They escaped. Their soul was free. They didn't have to have a fear, you know, of death or anything, because their soul was free. It was going to be forever free. You know, we have, there's a lot of great escape stories. I was thinking of, in the animal kingdom, wolves and all, they get caught in a snare. They will chew off their foot to get out. Have any of us had to do that much damage to ourselves to get out of sin? Did we have to chew off our foot? Did we have to do great bodily harm to ourselves to be able to get away from the devil and from sin and all that? No. All we had to do is say, "Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord." And just get down on our knees and ask God to forgive us. Sometimes giving up the world can feel like we're chewing off our foot. Afterwards, it can feel like that. All the things that we have to do and give up and do different and change and all. Some of us can feel like we're chewing off our foot in order to keep saved and going with the Lord. I was thinking about, there's so many stories about people that escaped from communist countries, people that escaped over the Berlin Wall. There was a man that made a balloon and flew over the Berlin Wall, and they shot his balloon, but he got on the other side before it crashed. So he was a little broken up, but he had escaped. You think he was upset that he had some few broken bones? I don't think so. He was willing to die. He knew they could shoot him out of the sky. He was willing to die for his freedom. Dear ones, our freedom is in God. And everyone that's in sin needs to escape before it's forever too late. There is going to be so many that it's going to be too late. I read a story about a man on an airplane. The sole survivor of a huge airplane crash. They didn't actually crash, but they had trouble landing, and they spun around and did some bumps and this and that, and the wheels came off, and they were skidding on the belly, and, you know, all kinds of weird things happened. But they came to a stop, and everybody's right there. And he said everybody just sat there. He jumped up, opened the escape thing, went down the chute, ready to help other people off the plane. And then all of a sudden there was a little explosion in there, and fire ripped through the whole thing, and they were all gone because nobody moved. Wow. Nobody moved. He was the only one that moved. Sometimes we escape just in time. Amen. Just in time. We have some here. We have a young man that got saved here on a Sunday morning, and he went to be with his Lord on Friday evening. You know, that's an escape. That was a harrowing little journey he took there. And what if he hadn't let that seed? What if he hadn't let that seed get a hold of him that morning? What if the seed hadn't found a place to find, to grow a little bit of a root? What if he hadn't gone? What if he hadn't asked? But the Lord tries to provide an escape for everyone. We have, I'm just going to kind of go over some things right here. I hope it's not offensive to anybody. But we have a brother that escaped from the errors and punishments of his youth and is now a preacher. Now, is that an escape or what? Amen. That's an escape. Did it come overnight? No. Did he suffer a long time? Yes. But what did God do? He escaped.
Yes. Thank the Lord.
He escaped. And what about our dear sister that escaped from a coma that they said she wasn't coming out of? They said she wasn't going to come out. And she came out saying, "I'm saved." Because God knows how to talk to a person's heart even when they're in a coma. He knows how to talk to them. He knows how to bring things to their mind. He knows how to operate their mind when everybody else says nothing can be done for this mind.
That's right.
He knows how to do that. That's a wonderful escape. What about different ones that have been escaped from drugs?
Yes.
Overnight. Yes. What about ones that escaped from alcohol? Didn't have very many years to live after that, but they lived them well and good. They escaped. And others have escaped from their own ways. I knew everything. I thought I knew everything. I did it my way. I this, I that. I know what I'm doing. I've got it all planned out. I've got this 10-year plan. I've got this, I've got that, I've got it. And now they're afraid to make a move without God saying yes. That's an escape, dear ones. When you can learn that one, that's an escape. Listen, we all need to escape. There are things in our lives right now today, even those of us that are saved, that we need to escape from.
Amen.
There are those that are still in sin that need to escape before it's forever too late, before the devil comes in and does something that is irrevocable. There are some things in life that the devil can lead us through that forever will be with you the rest of your life. That you didn't have to go there. You didn't have to be there. You didn't have to be in the middle of that. Oh, Lord, help us this morning. Help us, Lord, to realize our escape routes. The scripture says that he makes a way to escape.
Amen.
That no matter what comes our way, God makes a way to escape. That means even the sinner, in the deepest sin, darkest sin, wherever, he makes a way for them to escape. He already paid the price, which paved the way, but now he goes even further than that. Now he deals with them individually, in their hearts, in their minds, and makes a way for them to escape and be able to forever be with the Lord. I know you're all, those of you that are saved, are all glad you've escaped.
Yes.
There's none of you that would say, oh, if I had it to do over, I don't think I'd go this way. None of us would say that. And the longer we've been saved, the more convinced we are that none of us would say that. We've learned. See, we've lived long enough to learn the difference. We know what it felt like out there. What it was like out there, and now we know what it is like in the kingdom of God. And it's so wonderful. It's so different. It's so enriching and blessed.
Thank you, Lord.
It is a wonderful, peaceful, harmonious place to live for the Lord, even in this world. It's still harmonious, even in this world. Isn't it wonderful that when everybody is up in arms, this new thing has come out, and this horrible thing is happening in the government, and this horrible thing is happening in the world, and this horrible thing, we're being threatened by bombs, and we're being threatened by this, and threatened by, isn't it wonderful sometimes to just go to the Lord and lay it all out before him and say, Lord, help these people that run the government, help these people that run all these different countries, help these people to do the right thing. But isn't it wonderful to know that if they don't do the right thing, you're still all right?
Amen.
That it doesn't have to affect you. Oh, it might affect you physically. You know, all kinds of things could happen physically.
Yes.
But spiritually, in your heart, in your soul, in everything that is most important in life, the inner peacefulness of man, the thing that everybody out there in the world is striving for, peace. They're striving for peace and comfort. They're striving to find themselves and to understand themselves and to everything. And all they have to do is get to God, and God will explain it all. And that's why we have peace, because it's been explained. It's been explained to us. We understand it very well. When you live for God, this is what your life is like. And when you live for the enemy, this is what it's like.
Yes.
And we get to choose. Isn't that a wonderful thing? I'm so glad that I escaped when I did. So glad that the Lord blessed and helped me, and I know you are too. But we need to pray for those that have not yet escaped. Amen.